Father, we either stand on the solid ground of Christ alone, or we are on ground that will sink like sand. Father, we who are tethered to Christ, standing on His righteousness, we are filled with great hope. We remember that this morning as we come to open Your Word, that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness, that there's nothing else that we can trust in. Father, we trust in Christ alone. For those in here today who do not trust in Christ, they are on unstable ground. May they see Christ, their need for Christ today, even as we see Him as a 40-day-old baby. May we see Him far more than that, as the King of the world and the Lord of lords, and the One who returned to redeem His people and to judge those who are outside of His care and outside of His righteousness. Father, show us Christ, that we may know Him more and love Him more and serve You more and more in a way that brings You glory. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church and guests. It is not good for man to be alone. God's Word clearly tells us it is not good for man to be alone. And as always, God's Word is true. And 29 years ago today, God blessed me with my wife, Emily. And I can give testimony to how it is good. It is a good gift that I have received from God. The best gift I have ever been given outside of salvation, without a doubt, is my wife, Emily. Our marriage has been not without its struggles. Even now, our sin causes us to fall short of the picture of Christ in the church that we are to be presenting to the world around us. We far too often interact in ways that displease God and bring chastening into our lives. But in spite of our failings, in spite of our sins and our imperfection, God continues to empower us to do the good works that He prepared beforehand for us to do. And there is no good work that I do that does not include my wife. There's no good work that she does that does not include me. And for now, we are one. And I will tell you young adults in here, get married, have babies, and live with your spouse to serve the Lord. It will give you a life filled with purpose. And I put in a Facebook post this morning, and as I was just posting about our anniversary and thinking back on all of the places, everything in my life for the last 29 years, my wife has been there with me. And I was thinking forward to, look, I'm 9 years older, and somebody from Kenya rightly told me I don't know who will die first. It's true. But I'm 9 years older, and I'm not as healthy as my wife. And most probably, I look forward to the day when I am in my deathbed, breathing my last, that my wife will be there to send me to glory. So I'm very thankful for my wife. I love you, Emily, and I'm thankful to God for the gift that you are to me. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We will be in verses 25 through 38. In Luke's gospel, we've seen a number of testimonies as to Christ coming, Jesus, the Messiah, coming. Gabriel told Mary that the Son of God, the forever King, would be born to her. Elizabeth testified to the coming Lord. Mary testified to the Lord, that her Savior that was to come. Then we saw Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. We saw Jesus be born in a stable in Bethlehem. Then we saw the shepherds hear from the angels, and they then too gave testimony of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Last week we saw that Jesus was born under the law. This baby, this baby that we see being born in the book of Luke, we see at 40 days old being presented to God at the temple. That is God Himself, who came to live as a man and live under the law and perfectly obey all of the law. The law that we are commanded to follow, He followed it for those of us who would believe, and died to pay for the sins of us who would not follow it, for those of us who would believe. Now, in this week's passage, we're going to see two more testimonies, two more people testifying to who Jesus is. Two people who were waiting for Jesus, the salvation of God. Please stand and I'll read verses 25 through 38. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. You may be seated. We've considered before how dark this time in Israel was. Remember, for 400 years prior to about 9 months earlier, when the angel Gabriel appeared to first Zechariah, God had been silent. And there were very few people who had faith and believed in God. Judaism was rampant. People had their faith in their ability to follow the law, the Mishnah. It was a very dark time. There were very, very few believers, God-fearers. There was a very small remnant. Remember, even after Jesus' earthly ministry, there were 120 believers in the upper room after he had been here. So there was a very small remnant in Israel. And Luke is introducing us to some of this remnant. Some of these believers, these who had faith. We saw Zechariah and Elizabeth were faith-filled believers. Mary and Joseph, and now Simeon and Anna, these were some of the remnant, some of the small number of people who actually had faith in God, actually believed the Scriptures, actually were awaiting a Messiah for their salvation, as opposed to gaining their old salvation through the works of the law. The revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ, in the prophecy about him, and then him coming into the earth was given to very few people and was given to very nondescript people. Zechariah was a very nondescript priest out of a very small part of Israel. Mary and Joseph were too poor to even afford a lamb for the sacrificial offering, for the purification. They had to do a bird instead. Simeon and Anna, fairly nondescript people, as we will see. We're going to look today at these testimonies of Simeon and Anna about Jesus Christ. First, we're going to look at Simeon's testimony. Remember, we are right in the middle of Mary and Joseph have brought Jesus to the temple to give sacrifice, to make purification for her sins, and to present Jesus to God, and then to purchase his redemption for 5 shekels that he would not have to go into the priesthood. So this is, they're in the temple right as we're looking at this scripture. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So there's this man, Simeon, a righteous and devout man, who had been promised by God that he would not die until he had seen the consolation of Israel. And he knew that he believed, he trusted in God, he was righteous, dikaios, he was just, upright, he was in accordance with God's compelling standards. He was be put right with, pertaining to be right in relationship with someone, proper right in the sense of being justified. This was a man who was right with God. He had faith. He believed God and his promises. He was devout, eulabes, pious, devout, godly, God-fearing. Simeon was an old man who was pious. He lived a holy life. He was right with God. He had faith. He believed. There's so many things I thought about this week as I was preparing. I thought, you know, I'm not a really old man, but I'm kind of old man. It would be really nice if someone thought, if God would think, if people would say, if Luke would write about me, Mike Reed, a righteous and devout man. A righteous and devout man. Wouldn't it be great? Brenda, a righteous and devout woman. That it could be said of us that we were righteous, that when we are righteous because we have believed on Christ. We have faith. So that makes us righteous and devout, that we would live pious, holy lives because we are right with God. And then the next thing we see about this righteous, devout old man was he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. Prosdekomai. This word, to wait for, to remain in a place and or a state with the expectancy concerning a future event. Here was a man who was righteous and devout, and he was steadfast. He was waiting expectantly for a future event. He was waiting for the consolation, the parakletos, the encouragement, the comfort, the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the anointed one of God, who would bring comfort to Israel. He was a man who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. God had promised him salvation would come all throughout the Old Testament. He knew that the salvation of God would come. And he was looking expectantly. And then he had been told by the Holy Spirit, he had been promised by God, he would see this salvation before he died. And he was waiting. He was waiting expectantly for this Savior to appear. He was steadfast as he was waiting. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This man who had been waiting expectantly for the salvation of God to come, the consolation of Israel. His life was focused on when will I cannot die until I see the Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. He blessed God and said, can you imagine this man who had been waiting for the consolation of Israel? He knew he couldn't die until he saw the Messiah. And he walks in and the Spirit leads him in and he sees Jesus. And he picks him up. He experiences Jesus. He sees Jesus. He picks him up and he blesses God. He is seeing the salvation of God. How did this come about? It came about because the Holy Spirit led him into the temple. He was led by the Spirit into the temple at this time, providentially, when Jesus was there. Joseph and Mary were in fulfilling the law of purification and presentation of Jesus, buying him back with 5 shekels. And the Spirit led Simeon, this man who was promised to see Christ and was waiting to see the Messiah. The Spirit led him there. This is how we all came to find Jesus as well. The Spirit led us somewhere where we found Jesus. Where Jesus was seen by us through the gospel. All Christians, Simeon's the same as all Christians, they're led by the Spirit to see Jesus. And he took him up in his arms and he blessed him. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. This is known as the nunc dimittis, which is Latin for now you let depart. This is Simeon saying, now I can die. I have seen your salvation. Soterion, where we get the word soteriology. Salvation, the means by which people experience divine salvation. I have seen salvation. I have seen, I am holding salvation. I've seen it with my own eyes. I'm holding in my arms the salvation of God that has been promised for me to see. I can now die. Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace. I can die. I know I am saved. I know I'm saved. I have seen salvation. I have held salvation. I can die because I know I'm saved. I know he's saying, I know that all these Old Testament promises that I have believed have come to fruition in this little baby that I'm holding. That you, God, have sent the Messiah. You have sent salvation. Brothers and sisters, we too have faith in the Christ we've seen. We can now die. We can die. We ought not be afraid of death. We have seen salvation. We have seen Christ. The Spirit has taken us to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have experienced Christ. We can die. It's okay. We need no longer fear death. Simeon says, take me. Take me home. We can look forward to, with joy and hope, our death. We really can. It isn't just some theory. We can take great comfort in the words of Simeon that says, I have seen salvation. I can depart in peace. We need not fear death. And so when we fear death, remember the salvation that we have seen. And know there's something better. I remember I've said this many times, you probably know it, but bear with me. My father, when months and months of poking and prodding and trying to figure out what's wrong with him, we were in the hospital up in Bettendorf, and a doctor came in. They had done some markers to check for cancers of different types, and they checked for pancreatic cancer. And the doctor came in, and he said, you have pancreatic cancer. And my dad says, okay, well, we'll whip that. I said, no, Dad, that's pancreatic cancer. pancreatic cancer. That's the kind that Butch just died from, a man that we knew. It's really not curable. And he looked to the doctor and he said, it's okay. Jesus has saved me. I'm okay. Brothers and sisters, we can't say that. It's okay. I'm okay. I've seen Christ. I know him and he knows me. Oh, death, where is your sting? Simeon's actually welcoming death. I could depart in peace. Take me home. Back to Simeon's testimony. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the ethnos, the Gentiles, and for glory to your people. God, I believe, he says, I believe I am holding in my arms salvation, Jesus, the salvation that you have sent for Jews and Gentiles. Verse 33, and his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. The word marveled, amazed. They were amazed. They were kind of shocked, like what was said about him. Why were they marveling? Because Luke 1:30, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. This Mary understood. The child that I'm now holding, day 40, the child that Simeon just said something about the Gentiles and Jews, no, he was going to reign over the house of Jacob. He was going to be the king of the Jews. Remember, Joseph had been told that naming Jesus because he would save his people from their sins, and in Joseph's listening, his people would be Jews. So they marveled. They marveled because Simeon was saying, no, it's Gentiles and Jews alike. Because Simeon actually believed and knew what the Old Testament had taught. And the Spirit was upon him. Isaiah 42:6, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the ethnos, the nations. To open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. Isaiah 49:6, he says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. See, the Old Testament clearly said salvation would be for the Gentiles, for all nations. And yet the Jews did not believe that. The Jews thought it was only Jews that could be saved. And Simeon was pronouncing that this salvation that he was holding in his arms was for Gentiles and for Israel and for Jews. And this Mary and Joseph marveled at that. Isaiah 52:10, the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. The salvation of God, Simeon says, that he's now holding in his arms, this 40-day-old baby. The salvation of God, the person Jesus Christ, is for all types of people, not just Jews. Israel is not ethnic. Israel is not ethnic. Simeon had stated that Jesus was the salvation of God for all of his people, both Jews and Gentiles. He goes on, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Many Jews will fall And many Jews will rise and there will be opposition to Jesus and the sign, the cross. There'll be opposition to those things. And the hearts of many will be revealed. He's telling Mary he's telling Mary that your child, this child, will be the reason for the fall and the rising of many, and that people's hearts will be revealed because of the opposition that would go against him. The heart of Pilate was revealed that he loved his position more than he loved the truth. The heart of Judas that he loved silver more than he loved Jesus. The heart of Peter that he was a coward in the face of Jesus' death. Many others, the hearts would be revealed. And then the parenthetical statement he says to Mary, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Simeon was telling Mary that she would be greatly pierced through because of Jesus and the opposition that would come toward him. John 19:25, but standing at the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister. At the cross of Jesus, Mary would watch her son, this 40-day-old baby that Simeon was talking about as he's holding him. Because of him, you will be pierced through. Mary, your soul will be pierced through. One, because he's going to have, at age 12, he's going to start a ministry that really isn't about you anymore. And he's even going to say, he's going to call you woman, not mother, at the wedding in Cana. And then you're going to watch him die. You're going to watch him suffer and die. You're going to watch him be beaten. You're going to watch him be mocked. You're going to watch him have a crown of thorns. You're going to watch him be put up on a cross and crucified. All you mothers with your children, think about seeing your son in that way. You would be pierced through the soul, yes? And this is what he's telling Mary. Mary was going to witness what was prophesied in Psalm 22. My God, when Jesus is on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy and enthroned on the praises of Israel. And our fathers trusted, they trusted you and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. She's going to watch her son be scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. This is what she was going to watch happen to her son. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you who are he who took me from the womb, who made me trust at my mother's breasts. Oh, on you was I cast from birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Simeon is telling Mary, many hearts will be revealed. Many will rise and fall. And Mary, you're going to be pierced through your soul because what's going to happen to this baby that I'm holding? The salvation of God that I'm holding in my hands. Simeon, this righteous, devout man who was steadfastly looking for the salvation of God, the consolation of Israel, who the Spirit led into while Mary and Joseph are in the temple presenting Jesus. He sees God's salvation. He picks him up and he says, I can die. I've seen Jesus. I can die. This child that I am holding will reveal many hearts. He will save Gentiles and Jews. He will reveal the condition of hearts. And you, Mary, you're going to be pierced through as you watch what happens to your son. So now Luke leaves this testimony of Simeon and moves to Anna's testimony. Verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. There's this old woman, an 84-year-old woman, who had been married a long time ago and now was a widow. She was from a relatively unknown tribe. Throughout the Old Testament, the tribe of Asher is fairly nondescript. She was a woman who spoke God's word. And she had a father whose name meant face of God, Phanuel. We don't know much else about Phanuel. We know it means face of God. This is who Anna was. She was an 84-year-old widow who knew God's word. And then here's what it says about her. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. The word there for worshiping is latruo. And it's not proskuneo. It's not the one where you lay that face out. The word latruo means worship, minister, or serve in religious duties. She was worshiping. She was serving at the temple. And how she was serving at the temple was with fasting and with prayer day and night. She never departed. She did not depart from the temple. She worshiped with fasting and prayer night and day. She served God with her entire life. Day and night. She fasted and she prayed. She served God. Her life was about serving God. While she was waiting for His salvation, while she was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So while she was waiting for the salvation of God, her life was devoted to serving Him. Old ladies, it's never too late to serve God. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, providentially, she came up at the very hour when Simeon was holding baby Jesus and prophesying over Him, talking of who He is, the salvation of God. She came up at that very hour. She saw the salvation of God. She saw Jesus. She began to give thanks to God. Anthomologeomai. To acknowledge in the presence of, to give thanks. In the presence of others, she began thanking God for the salvation that had come. Coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him, laleo. To speak or talk with the possible implication of more informal usage. She began to tell others about the Messiah, about Jesus, about the redemption of Jerusalem that she had been waiting for. She began to tell others. She began to tell others the salvation of God has appeared. He's here. Who did she talk to about Jesus? All who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. All who were waiting, that same word. All that were waiting for expectantly about a future event. All that were waiting for the latrosis, the liberation, the redemption, the ransoming of Jerusalem. She told all of the other faith-filled remnant in Jerusalem. See, there wouldn't have been a lot of true believers, as we talked about, in a very small group. They would have known each other. There was this group of people who believed God that a Messiah was coming, that their righteousness was not going to be in their own law or their own Mishnah or their own works, that they were waiting for this Messiah to come. And there was a group of them in Jerusalem that would have been waiting. And as soon as she sees Jesus, the salvation of God, she praises and thanks God, and she goes to tell these other faith-filled believers, He's here. He's here. She encouraged the true believers, the other true believers, about this 40-day-old baby boy named Jesus, God is salvation, that she had seen, that she heard Simeon talking about. She encouraged those other believers who are looking for Jesus. We see in Simeon and Anna people who were waiting, living their lives, expecting the Messiah to come. They were looking for, with great expectation, the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem, for the salvation of God. Their lives were consumed by serving God while they were waiting for Jesus. Their lives were consumed by serving God while they were waiting for Jesus. This is an example that we can follow. Our lives being consumed by serving God while we are waiting for Jesus. We too are people who are waiting to see Jesus, aren't we? Not as an infant, because we will not see Jesus as an infant. When we see Jesus, it will be as he comes to judge and reign and rule. When we see Jesus, it will be face to face in glory. But we, make no mistake, brothers and sisters, our hope is in seeing the return of Christ. If no return of Christ, then no glory for us. With Simeon and Anna in mind, let's consider our testimony. What's our testimony? We are a people eagerly waiting for Jesus to appear. Now listen, you might say, no, I'm not. And I'm going to say, yes, you are. If you know Christ, if you're a believer, if you have faith. Your hope is in the return of Christ. Your hope is in seeing Christ. You are eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. You may not think that's true of you. But if you're a Christian, it's true of you, so change your mind. Repent. Have a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. And if it's true you really aren't looking for Jesus to come back, if you really don't have hope in the return of King Jesus, then put your faith and trust in him and be saved. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are doing life, however they're doing life, who are focused on the things of the world. No. He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. We are a people, brothers and sisters, that are eagerly waiting for Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. Change your mind if what I'm telling you is not true for you. This is who we are. It will change our whole existence. It will change everything we do every day of our lives as we would be eagerly waiting for Christ's return. My interaction with my wife yesterday would be different if I was thinking that way. Are you eager for Christ to come again? We all know the answer is yes, but are you? Can you say, come, Lord Jesus? Colossians 3:1. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Brothers and sisters, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. How do I do that? Because all day long I'm living my life here. I set my mind on things above. I set my mind on Christ and His glory and His perfections. I set my mind on the commands of my Lord. I set my mind on the glory that I will receive. I set my mind that my marriage is to be a picture of Christ in the church. I set my mind that God has told me to raise my children in the training and admonition of the Lord. I set my mind on praying for those who persecute me. I set my mind on things above. I set my mind on honest scales and measures. I set my mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. I don't set my mind on COVID. I don't set my mind on President Biden. I live inside of all those things, but my mind is set on things above. Our lives are not consumed by the things on this earth, brothers and sisters. Anna was a widow, 84-year-old widow. In that culture, she would have had next to nothing. She would have had nothing, really. And here she was serving the Lord day and night, waiting for the salvation of God. Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, heaven, we await a Savior. Brothers and sisters, we are citizens of heaven. And we await a Savior from heaven. We are expecting, eagerly, standing for, looking for Christ to return. To take us home. Who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. We do not think or behave like citizens of America. We are citizens of heaven with a great hope. We await a Savior. This is who we are. This is our testimony. Please don't convince yourself or me or argue that no, it's not true of me. It is true of you if you're a Christian. It is true of you. It is true of me. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. How did the grace of God appear? In this 40-day-old baby that Simeon was holding, in the person of Jesus Christ. The grace of God appeared. Training us, believers, to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. This is Christ appeared, bring salvation, that we would renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. But they're so tempting. Yes. And we have a Savior who was tempted in all ways, this little baby that grew into a man, tempted in all ways and without sin, that we can cling to. So we can be self-controlled. We cannot have angry outbursts at work. We cannot practice sexual immorality. Here we are, upright in God's lives in this place, waiting. Here's what we are. Here's what we're doing. We are waiting for a blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are waiting for Him to appear. Just like Anna and Simeon, we're waiting for Him to appear again. Eagerly waiting. That's what we're doing. Who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. We, like Anna, are zealous for good works. We are waiting eagerly for Christ to reappear. We live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. This is what we do. We're zealous for good works. And then you know what else we do? We declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. We do the same for all of God's people. We do the same for one another. We remind one another that we are to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. We are waiting for a blessed hope. We're waiting for Christ's return. We need to be ready for that. Hebrews 10:34. These saints were suffering great persecution. And there were many hardships because they had turned from Judaism to Christianity. Hebrews 10:34. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of property. You joyfully accepted them taking your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. You see, we can suffer persecution. We can suffer loss. And we can have great joy because we have something far greater that we hope in. Acts 24:14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Because I have a hope in God. And because I know there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Because I know when Christ returns, I will be raised up in glory. Because I know that, I take pains to have a clear conscience before God and before men, Paul says. This is what we do. We remind ourselves that Christ is returning. We remind ourselves of the resurrection. And inside of that, and the just and the unjust, both are going to be resurrected, one to glory, one to damnation. And because of that, we take great pains to have a clear conscience before God and before men. And we remind one another to do the same. Just like Anna did. We go and we point people to the hope they have in Christ, that they would live differently now. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Luke 12. We just read Luke 12 this morning again. Parable of the rich man who dies with all of his possessions. He goes on to say, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or wear. Don't be anxious about your life, because it pleased God to give you the kingdom. And then he says this in verse 35. Stay dressed for action. Listen, this is what we do, brothers and sisters. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Be dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Anna, all day and night, prayer and fasting, serving God. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning, waiting for Christ to return. You're blessed when he finds you awake when he returns. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and find them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is how we live. Was Anna ready? Was Simeon ready? They sure were. Their lives were devoted to waiting for this consolation of Israel, the redemption of Jerusalem. And in the meantime, we see them serving God. Are you ready, fellow Christians, for His return? Are you waiting expectantly? Would how you lived yesterday, are you ready to have Christ return into that? Not as a motivation of fear that you would go to hell, but as a motivation of love for the Christ who's returning to redeem you. Would you live the way you lived yesterday? Would you live the way you live this morning? Serving Him well. Matthew Henry, you have been used to take notice of the sayings of dying men, this is mine. This is what Matthew Henry said as he was dying. That a life spent in the service of God and communion with Him is the most pleasant life that anyone can live in this world. We believe that, Christians, don't we? We believe that the most pleasant life that we can live is one in communion with and service to God. Adoniram Judson. A life once spent is irrevocable. A life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. If it has been a useless life, it can never be improved. Such will stand forever and ever. The same way be said of each day. Each day. When it once is past, it is gone forever. All of the marks which we put upon it, it will exhibit forever. So whatever we did yesterday will not change, and that is forever. Each day will not be a witness of our conduct. Each day will not only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. Listen, for believers, listen to what he said. Each day will not only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. Not the loss of salvation, but of rewards. No day will lose its share of influence in determining where shall be our seat in heaven. How shall we then wish to see each day marked with usefulness? It will then be too late to mend its appearance. It is not too late to mend the days that are past. The future is in our. It is too late to mend the days in our past. The future is in our power. Let us then each morning resolve to send the day into eternity in such a garb as we shall wish it to wear forever. And at night, let us reflect that one more day is irrevocably gone, indelibly marked. Every day, if we remember Christ is returning and we have a hope in the return of Christ and we are ready for His return, then each day we will live with that on mind. And we won't look back and say, boy, I sure wish I hadn't done all that stuff yesterday. And we go to bed at night, we'll remember, today's gone, tomorrow's coming, may my focus be on things above. Are you ready for Christ's return? Are you reminding one another? James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against each other, brothers. We are waiting eagerly for the return of Jesus. We, like Anna and Simeon, are waiting to see Jesus, brothers and sisters. And while we are waiting to see Jesus, it affects how we live our lives. 1 John 3. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The pious life of Simeon, Anna's devotion to prayer and fasting and serving God in the temple, was not so, because they were faith-filled, remember. It was not so they would get right with God. It was because they believed God and they were right with God. And so as we look to the Christ's return, as we look to Christ, we say, come Lord Jesus, he's coming again. What that will do for us is have us to purify ourselves because we love the one who is coming. It has us to be ready because we want to please the Master who is coming. Are you waiting eagerly to see his face? Is my life proof text of that? It will be. It just will be. Simeon and Anna were serving God and they were ready to die. They were ready to die, Simeon was, knowing that he had seen the object of his faith. And then Anna went out and told others who were waiting for his arrival to encourage them. Jesus is coming again. Are we ready? Are we anxious? Are we encouraging each other with that reality? For the brethren, it's not Jesus coming, you're going to get judged to hell, you better shape up. No, it's Jesus is coming. Your Lord is coming. Your Savior is coming. The one who died for you is coming. The one who loves you is coming. Have the lawn mowed. Have the dishes put away. I'm not saying those things specifically. I'm saying have your mind set on things above. Be ready for his return. Confess. Seek forgiveness. Repent. Sin. He's coming. Be ready. And tell each other. Don't threaten the brethren with punishment. Prepare the brethren for the coming of the Lord to take us home. Finish well. He's coming. Simeon and Anna. Closing thought. Simeon and Anna, full of faith, were waiting for the salvation of God when Jesus of Nazareth found them. Simeon was then ready to die. And Anna thanked God and pointed her fellow believers to Jesus, the 40-day-old son of Joseph and Mary of Nazareth. It is the testimony of those of us with faith that we too are waiting to see the same Savior, Jesus. And while waiting, we are pointing others who have faith in him to him as well. Is this your testimony? It is your testimony. It is your testimony. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is our story. This is our song. This is our testimony. Now, by the grace of God, let's go live out our testimony. Ask ourselves, are we ready to breathe our last and face Jesus? Are we anxious to breathe our last and be with Jesus? Are we hopeful in breathing our last and being with Jesus? Are we living like those who could see him face to face at any time? Are we serving Christ as we wait for his return? And are we encouraging one another to do the same? I don't have the poem. You've all heard it probably. The poem about we have one life and it will pass. There's just one life. That's all we have. We who have been redeemed will be in glory with Christ in heaven. He has died to purchase us, to redeem us, to save us from the wrath of God. And while we live unto Him. We devote our lives to serving Him in whatever ways we can serve Him. And the gifts we've been given are to be used for the benefit of the church, for one another. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you are prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have been promised to see Jesus. Everyone in here will be resurrected and will see Jesus. For those who have their faith and trust in him, we will see him. And we will be welcomed into heaven to live with him. For those who have yet to put their faith and trust Christ, they will see Jesus Christ as a judge who will rightly judge them to eternal damnation. Father, for those of us who you have loved in and through Christ, Father, help us to live in light of his return. Help us to keep our minds fixed on things above, not on things of this earth. Help us to encourage one another to look to Christ and live for his sake, for your glory. For all these things in Christ's name, amen. We are going to sing hymn 403, Blessed Assurance, 403.